Now is the time to lock in the lowest prices we've ever seen for airline tickets with low-cost airlines. Over 500 airlines with some practically giving away seats. Call 858-988-7667. 858-988-7667.
Do you know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Is their addiction spiraling out of control? Get sober now. 800-959-6348. Private insurance may cover costs with Elite Rehab Placement. 800-959-6348.
It's The Buzz 24/7 at morningbuzz.com.
This is unbelievable.
Now that's what's up.
Yes, hello. Welcome, everybody. Buzz 24/7. I feel like I should be talking in an English accent today.
Is he English?
I don't know anything.
Because like, I'm thinking, am I not going to be able to understand what he's saying?
I'm hoping he is. I'm hoping he is, too.
I hope he's got a New Jersey accent.
Hey! How you doing? Jerry.
How's it going?
Twas the night before Christmas. Is that what we're doing?
No. Say hi to your mother for me.
No, this is Gerald Dickinson, who is the great-great-grandson of Dickinson.
Dickens?
Sorry. It's been a hell of a show. It's been a hell of a day today. I wrote it. Dickinson. It's Gerald Dickens, who is the great-great-grandson of Charles Dickens, who wrote A Christmas Story. So Gerald has been going around touring, like performing this. He's an actor, director, and stuff. Over 30 years he's been doing this, and he's going to be coming to the Dana Center at St. Anselm's College on Friday, doing a show there, and then on Saturday he's in Nashua at the Nashua Senior Center. Now look, I what's it like to be a great-great-grandson of someone who left that kind of mark?
Yeah.
In the literary world that turned into the movie world and the Christmas world.
Right, and I want to know if this was something like, did his grand, like, obviously, I don't feel like it skipped this many generations.
Right. Have they all been doing it?
Have they all, yeah, and who chooses in the family who's going to be taking over? Because I don't think it probably lapsed, right?
I don't know, and I will say that it's part of, it's your legacy. You want it to carry on. So he's going to be joining us. He's calling now. So let's go to the phone and say, hello, is this Gerald?
Hi, Greg.
Yes, it's Greg. Good morning. How are you?
How are you? I'm very well. How are you?
Excellent. Thank you. I'm good. We've got Roadkill here with us. We've got Kelly.
Good morning.
And Laura. And thank you for coming on with us today. I know you're coming to do a couple of shows. We just talked about, you know, the Dana Center, which is a lovely theater over in St. Anselm's College. And, of course, Nashua at the Senior Center. And that's going to be on Saturday. And you've been coming and doing this for a long time. So here's where we're going to start. Because we were just talking about it. What is it like? I'm going to start off with the most basic of questions, Gerald. What is it like to be the great-great-grandson of such an iconic figure in the literary world and the movie world and the Christmas world, Charles Dickens and the Christmas Story? What's that like growing up?
Well, in a way, it's difficult to say because, of course, I've never known anything else. But it more than anything, it's a privilege. I mean, it's astounding. Because Charles Dickens's reputation and continuing legacy around the world is such that people just love talking about him.
Sure.
So to have the opportunity to travel and to be able to share that family legacy is just remarkable. It's never been in any way a duty or a pressure.
A burden.
I've never felt that.
Yeah, it's never felt a burden. Yeah.
It's always been an absolute pleasure and a joy, and that first word I used, a privilege.
So when did you start, because I know you're an actor, you're a producer, you're a director, and you know, when did you start? I know you've been touring and doing this for 30 years, but when did the acting bug, the entertainment bug hit you? Was that from the get-go? Was there anything else?
Absolutely.
Of course.
The acting bug was a school nativity play at the age of 9. Yeah, getting up on stage and being in a hall full of people all laughing and clapping and doing whatever they were doing, and I thought, yeah, this is the life for me. You know, like all actors, I'm an incredibly insecure person, and at that time I was a very insecure child. And then suddenly there was this way of being somebody else and being paid attention to and being noticed and being appreciated. It was amazing. And from that moment on, from the age of 9, that was all I wanted to do with my life, other than being a Grand Prix Formula One racing driver, but that never happened.
Right, of course. That's a little
that
bit
was my other great dream at the age of 9, yeah.
But when you're 9 and you're in the school play, you know, the nativity scene or whatever, do you think, like, look at this applause. I'm Joseph over here. Yeah.
Bring it home.
You get a little excited when you start to get that, and it bites you, and it kind of stays with you.
It does.
And you must.
It does. It's an absolute bug. It really grabbed hold of you. And you know, I wanted to be there the next time. I wanted to be on the stage again and being somebody else and working with a group of people to create whatever it was we were doing. It was just where I was absolutely at my happiest and most complete. I loved it, and that stayed with me all through my life up to now.
So you're going to perform the Christmas Carol or the Carol, whichever you'd like to do it. So is it a one-man show, yep. Gerald?
It is a one-man show. I first started doing it in 1993, so I'm coming up, as you said, for 30 years of performing this piece. And in the old days, when I very first started, it was a reading. It was a recreation of the readings that Charles Dickens gave himself when he went on tour. He was a very keen actor. He loved to perform. Over the years, I developed it from a reading, and it started to become a theatrical dramatization much more, and that's what the show is today. So there are, I think, 26, 27 different characters in it. I don't use any changes of costume or scenery or anything like that. It's just the changes in voices and the way I stand and the way I move and all that sort of thing creates the different scenes as I go along. And, you know, the people, especially in Nashua, I've been coming back to Nashua for, I don't know, something like 12 years now.
Yes.
And the audiences are just so loyal. They come back year after year. It's become a real tradition. So I've got many, many friends in those audiences.
That's great.
Who come back, and it's great.
I would think that, you know, stripping it down to just the words and no costume changes and stuff emphasizes the written word more. So this is Gerald Dickens. He's going to be in Nashua on Saturday at the Senior Center performing at Christmas Carol, and Friday night at the Dana Center. Roadkill has a question for you.
Gerald, when did you realize that your great-grandfather...
Great-great-great-great-grandfather
created such an amazing, you know, story?
I guess growing up, I was always aware of the legacy of Charles Dickens, because my father was a huge Dickens fan and a bit of an expert, and he was always writing articles and giving speeches and things. So the house was always full of this Dickens thing, but it didn't mean much to me. But I remember the very first time I was read A Christmas Carol. I must have been 5 or 6, and it was Christmas Eve, and an uncle and his children, my cousins, had come to stay for Christmas. And he read A Christmas Carol to all of us. We were all sat in a room, ready for bed on Christmas Eve, and he read the story. And I remember just being absolutely amazed at the magic of the story, especially at the end, when it said Scrooge hadn't missed Christmas Day, that they'd done it all in one night. And I thought, how did that happen?
Yeah.
Well, I want to know more. I don't understand it. I need to know. And I remember just being so excited about it. That was the first time it really made an impact.
It's the greatest Christmas story, if you ask
Absolutely.
Me. I know A Wonderful Life is good, but this is by far my favorite. Kelly has a question for you, Gerald.
It's A Wonderful Life is kind of based
a little bit,
on,
yeah, right.
Yeah.
Gerald, being on the stage by myself, frankly, scared the dickens out of me.
Ah, nice.
Wow.
Nice.
Hey. You got it,
Kelly.
You can use that.
That's our news guy, Gerald, right there.
Besides a Christmas Carol... Gerald, besides
Christmas, who wins it? The scared the dickens out of me lottery. Sorry,
what other work? Obviously, you identify with A Christmas Carol, but what out of all the other works? I assume you read most of them. David Copperfield, Great Expectations. Mm-hmm. What's mm-hmm, your mm-hmm. favorite, or is it a lesser known Dickens work that's your favorite?
Out of the main novels, out of the big novels, I think probably Great Expectations is the one that I love more than the others. It's one of his later novels, and it's so well written, and the characters are so great. But I also have a very special affection for Nicholas Nickleby, which actually was the novel that first got me excited about the works of Charles Dickens. Seeing it on stage, seeing an adaptation of it on stage, I suddenly realized what amazing stories these were. So those two, Nickleby and Great Expectations. The other one I particularly like is a short story, as you said, a lesser-known one, that really nobody's ever heard of today. It's a little piece called Dr. Marigold, which is just the sweetest, most life-affirming, upbeat story. And that's another one I perform in the repertoire, but that's a particular favorite.
I'm going to seek it out.
Isn't that cool, though? Like you, especially with a lesser-known piece of work that becomes a favorite, it's more personal because you feel like it's yours. Because obviously you have to share all the rest with the rest of the world, right?
Yeah. Well, and also, but when I'm performing it, I know the audience doesn't know where the plot's going. They don't know what's going to happen.
Right.
Whereas if you're doing a Christmas Carol or Oliver Twist or any of the other famous ones, the audience has a pretty good idea where this is going to end. It would be a bit disappointing for them if I was doing a Christmas Carol and Scrooge said, "Yeah, whatever."
Right, I know.
So I'm not interested.
With all of the works, and you're the great great grandson of Charles Dickens. Is there? I hope, and this may be a weird question, but you know, I hope that maybe you have maybe one of the first prints, you know, anymore, some collector's edition of one of the original editions of those books that have become such classics and world famous as kind of an artifact. Do you possess anything like that?
I'm going to disappoint you and say, sadly, I do not. Yeah. I'd very much like to. I mean, the original actual handwritten manuscripts are all collected in museums across the world, a lot in London. There are some in Chicago and Philadelphia and New York. And, you know, that's where they need to be.
Sure.
That's where they're available for people to view and people to study from, but they're also properly preserved and you know, the people there know exactly how to look after that kind of artifact.
I did not expect the answer to be yes. I was just hopeful that maybe it was.
That's, I know.
You know what I mean? I also want to ask, mentioned earlier about, you know, with like A Christmas Carol. It's been done so many times, you know, on film and on television. And for me, you know, the Alistair Sims version for me, the black and white that was filmed, and I don't remember what year that movie came out, is my personal favorite of that movie. Do you have a version that is probably your favorite? I know it can never compare to the book. They never do.
Don't be afraid to say the Muppets version.
Well, don't say that.
I like the Muppets version.
You know,
that's well renowned.
I have three. I have three, and for different reasons. One is the Alistair Sim one. You know, you just can't help but feel joyous and uplifted and happy in those last scenes when he's skipping around and down the stairs and calling out the window to the little boy. Yeah, it's just wonderful.
Mm-hmm.
I also like George C. Scott playing Scrooge. I love the way he plays Scrooge. He's big, he's powerful, he's a real city businessman, which is what Scrooge would have been. And then you've just said it. The other one, and for a very serious reason, is the Muppets version. I love the Muppets version. I mean, I grew up with a Muppet, so, you know, what's not to like? But the fact that in the Muppets movie, you have two narrators. Okay, it's Gonzo and Rizzo Rat, but they are their narrators.
They're awesome.
It means... I just have a very close resemblance to the Dickens family, of course. But what it means is you're actually getting the original narrative text, which you don't get in any of the other films.
Ah.
You get the dialogue, but you don't get Dickens's narrative. And by having two narrators telling the story, you get the original Dickens narrative. And it's one of the only movies that actually achieves that. So in a way, the Muppets version is one of the most complete tellings of A Christmas Carol you'll find on film.
Full disclosure.
And that's why I love it. And of course, it just makes you laugh.
Yeah.
Gerald, it's wonderful.
Full disclosure, when you said the Muppets, Roadkill on our show, who said he loved the Muppets, yep, started dancing around like he just scored a touchdown.
You made my day.
That's what he's doing. That's really legitimately what he was doing. This is the level of who you're talking to with us. You know.
And know your crowd.
And then I went and spoiled it with a load of academic justification.
It is such a great story, and I love the fact that it's you that is performing it. To me, you know, that there's a connection. You know, there's an honor in that, and there is a history in that that makes it so much more special. And I'm not knocking anybody else who does it. I'm just saying that there's an added level of tradition, I think, when you come to town and you do it, and I appreciate that.
And that's one of the reasons that I don't do the whole big set and costume changes and lots of special effects, because I want the words to do the work. You know, this is a telling of Charles Dickens' story.
Yeah.
And that's what it is.
Yeah.
The wonderful thing about A Christmas Carol is you can do anything with it, and it always works. You know,
yeah.
you can do a huge production with lots of kids and singing and dancing. You can do a one-man version, you can do radio shows, you can do TV specials, you know, you can do anything. And the story always comes through. And,
yeah.
and my particular telling of it, I want to be Dickens' A Christmas Carol in its original form.
It is this Friday at the Dana Center at St. Anselm's College, also at Saturday at the in Nashua at the Nashua Senior Center. You could check both of those performances out. Gerald, a real pleasure having you on with us. We really appreciate you joining us today.
Well, thank you so much.
Really
enjoyed it. It's been a real pleasure.
Okay. Great. Well, thank you very much, and have a great day and a very Merry Christmas.
And to you, too.
And to you, too. Thank you. God bless us. Everyone. I could have said that. Kelly, you made him laugh. That was good, man. That was good.
He liked that joke.
Excellent.
Yeah, he was cool.
Imagine
if that's
the first time he heard that.
He was...
like guys, I talked to a radio station in New Hampshire, he said
they gave me a Dickens joke.
Oh, my God, I laughed like the Dickens. God. The thing is, you know, I'm sitting there listening to him. Before he came on the phone, Laura said something about accents. I'm like, he's got to have an English accent. If he came on and didn't, I would feel it would be less authentic. You know, just because of what my expectations were. But it would be possible that his great-great-grandson didn't have an English accent, you know?
Yeah.
But if he came on with a Southern accent, I don't know if that would have bought that much into it.
If he had gone with Jersey, would have loved it.
Yeah, yep. Exactly. So,
Lennox Mass tonight, tomorrow night, as you mentioned, Manchester the 2nd and Nashua the 3rd.
Yeah, and I want to see if I could give you a website. Go to GeraldDickens.wordpress.com. And you could see links to all of his stuff there. And also, let me see here. DickensTourUSA.com.
DickensTourUSA.com. Cool. I'm so glad we spoke to him. That was
sometimes
awesome.
Those unexpected guests are awesome, you know? So there you go. Well, there it is, everybody. Lovely, lovely day.
Lovely.
Cheerio. Cheerio. There's your Buzz 24/7 for today.
Told you the Muppets was a good version.
I do like the
I
Muppets.
Never watched it.
To me, growing up, the Muppets, I loved that friggin' show.
I was never a Muppets guy because I wasn't really watching a whole lot of TV.
Well, I mean, you were 10 years older than me, so I was older
than that when Muppets came out.
I've watched with my kids.
I saw them on Sesame Street, but when they became their own show.
No, but what I'm saying is you had kids. You never introduced your kids to the Muppets?
No, they can watch whatever they want. They just never really watched the Muppets, you know?
It's either hit or miss. That's what I've noticed with kids with that show.
Yeah. So, Alistair Sims. I also like the Jim Carrey animated version, which I think is really good, too. George C. Scott, though, I kept looking
great story.
I kept seeing Patton. You know, General Patton up there. I did.
Where was his helmet?
And worse, the guy in the movie Hardcore. The guy was crying. You remember that? Brutal movie.
Wow.
Anyway, things just got dark. I'm sorry I went there.
Wow.
Enjoy the rest
Merry
of your
Christmas.
Day. And we will see you tomorrow.
Now is the time to lock in the lowest prices we've ever seen for airline tickets with low-cost airlines. Over 500 airlines with some practically giving away seats. Call 858-988-7667. 858-988-7667.
Get your home secured for less than a dollar a day with no installation or equipment charges and a lifetime equipment replacement warranty. You can get security for your home. 800-915-8941. 800-915-8941.
Do you know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Is their addiction spiraling out of control? Get sober now. 800-959-6348. Private insurance may cover costs with Elite Rehab Placement. 800-959-6348.